First reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 11, and I'm reading verses 1 to 10. So Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 10. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of prayer, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and he would delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash round his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain. For the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. Here ends the word of God.
Morning. The second reading is from Luke chapter 1, and starting at verse 68, and it's the prophecy of Zechariah, who was the father of John the Baptist after the birth of John. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he said long ago through his prophets, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Show mercy to our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath he swore to our father Abraham, to rescue us from the hand of our enemies and to enable us to serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, my child, will be called a prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare the way for him, to give his people the knowledge of salvation through the forgiveness of their sins. Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, good morning, everyone. Let's pray before we begin. Father, we do praise you. Lord, you are our God, our heavenly King. You rule over all things. And Lord, you speak to us through your word. We pray this morning that as we have your word read to us and have it explained, Lord, that you would comfort our hearts, that you would strengthen us and encourage us to stay faithful to you and to serve you as faithful servants. Amen. Well, Brexiteer or Remainer? Conservative or Labour? Lockdown, tier system or open everything up? Democrat or Republican? Black Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter, All Lives Matter? Pro-life, pro-rights? Sunni or Shia? Hutu or Tutsi? Zulu or Xhosa? Our whole history as people on this earth is a history of division. Everything about us is wrapped up in division and strife. At the moment, we are facing a worldwide pandemic. Everyone is in the same situation, roughly. We're all facing this issue with coronavirus. The whole world. And even at this stage, as our whole world struggles with this virus, we're divided. We're all facing the same issue. We're all suffering under the same thing. And yet, the world is divided. We compare each country with another. We rush to get vaccines through. One country rushes to get its vaccine through and claims it's the most important vaccine. Another does the same thing. We're all facing the same issue right now, the whole world, and yet as we face the same issue, we find reason for division. It would be easy, I think, to look out into the world, given the history, well, given the whole world history, and given the history of the last few months, and think that there is never, ever going to be anything that brings us together, that unites us as a people. It would be easy for us to lose hope and to consider the fact that actually, as much as we would love unity and peace, it's just never going to happen. Today we're looking at this sermon series, going through for the titles, speaking about the titles of Jesus. And today we're looking at the specific title, The Root of Jesse. I'm going to open that up a bit and try to explain what that means for us, because it might not be familiar, and then try to show what that means for our understanding of unity and our hope for peace. So we're looking at the root of Jesse. That's the title that we find in Isaiah 11. If you want to look at it, it's in verses 1 and 10 of Isaiah. And we're going to break it up. So we're talking about the root of Jesse. What does that actually mean? So firstly, Jesse. What does Jesse have to do with this? Who was Jesse? Jesse was the father of King David. In Israel's history, everyone has been anticipating the coming rule of a promised king. So as we read through Genesis, we hear God speaking to Abraham and promising Abraham that he'll have many, many descendants. And that through those descendants, he will have a line of kings to come. Abraham is going to have kings coming from his family line. But it's not going to come through his son that he already has. It's going to come through a promised son, a son that is yet to be born. The trouble is, Abraham is very old. And his wife is beyond childbearing age. Abraham has to trust in God for the promised coming king. Abraham has to trust in God's word for the promised king to come. They have to wait on God for his promised king. Well, hundreds of years later, Israel find themselves built up into a nation. They are in the land of Israel. God has provided for that promise. They are in the land that God has provided for them. Except there's no king. It's the time of the judges. And at the time of the judges, Israel is divided. There's all sorts of moral issues and dilemmas. There's all sorts of controversies going on. And we're told through the book of Judges, there's this constant refrain. We're told what the issue is. There is no king in the land. And everyone is doing what is right in their own eyes. There is no king in the land. And everyone's doing what is right in their own eyes. So we're still looking for this promised king. In the book of Samuel, the people come to Samuel the prophet and they say to him, Samuel, give us a king. We want a king. Now this is a good thing. God has promised a king to the nation. The trouble is they go to Samuel asking for a king, but they want a king like all the other nations. God is the one who is sovereign. God is the one who's ruling over Israel as their king, but they want a king like the nations. Eventually God says to Samuel, give them a king. Give them a king that they deserve. So Samuel anoints Saul and he's made king over Israel. Except he's a failure. People find out that when they get the king that they want, it ends up being a failure. And so God sends a second king. But this is going to be different. He tells Samuel to go and look for this king, a king that God has chosen, not a king that the people has chosen, a king that God is going to choose for them. And so Samuel is sent to the family of Jesse. He's sent to the family of Jesse, and Jesse has seven of his sons brought before Samuel. Seven of these sons pass before Samuel, and Samuel is more than impressed. He looks at every single one of them. Every single one of them has the ability to be king. Each time he asks, God, is this the one? God replies, no, it's not him. What about this one? No, it's not him. What about this one? No, it's not him. It's not any of these. Samuel has to ask Jesse if he has any more sons. And then we find out that Jesse has one more son. His name is David, but he's nothing really. He's just a shepherd boy. He's out in the fields. He's not even here. He's unimpressive. He's the least. He's the one you would least expect to become king. Jesse brings David before Samuel, and God says David is to be the anointed king. It is David who is going to be the king. Well, David is anointed. He is the king that God has chosen. God raises him up to be king of Israel. And what happens? When God sends his king, all of Israel is united under his rule. And they experience peace. God's king comes to rule and there is unity and there's peace. That's what happens when we get God's king. So who is Jesse? Jesse was the father of King David, the king who united Israel and brought peace to the land. But that's only the second half of our little title, the root of Jesse. We understand who Jesse is now. What is the relevance of this root? How does that play into the title for Jesus? The root of Jesse. As we look into the book of Isaiah, where this title comes from, we find that Isaiah is a prophet. He's raised up as a prophet for God. Israel is meant to be this nation, a nation filled with righteousness, a nation that is being a light to the Gentiles, a nation that tells the world who God is and what he's like. That's what Israel has been created for. But Israel are demonstrating the exact opposite. Israel are going against God. They're not being faithful to him. They're not setting a good example for the rest of the world. In fact, it's a terrible example. And so Isaiah is raised up as a prophet to preach to Israel. He's asked to speak to the Israel and try to bring them to repentance, to turn them back to their God. But he's told, Isaiah, as you speak to these people, they will not hear you. They will not obey you. They will not turn back to God. And Isaiah asks God, God, how long will this go on for? How long will I preach to this people? How long will they not listen? And God says, until their land lies in ruins, until they are destroyed, until they are devastated, until they are made into a stump. This nation that God has built up is going to be wiped out. It was once a tree that flourished with branches and fruit, and now it's going to be cut down into a stump. We had a tree outside of our house a couple of years ago. It was huge, it was massive, but it ended up being a little bit of a threat to us. So we ended up having to have the tree surgeons come and cut it down. It took years and years for that tree to get to the height that it had got to. And in a couple of hours, it was cut down into a stump. No evidence of life. Right now, it's still there, but it's just covered in ivy. In 2012, a friend of mine was studying with me in Oxford, and he had come from Syria. Well, we all know a war began, and the cities that he knew as a child were laid waste. Thousands and thousands of years of history. And in the matter of a few months, it was brought to ruins, destroyed, wiped out. Well, here in Isaiah, God has built the nation of Israel. It's taken hundreds of years. God has given them this land. He's built them up. He's given them a king, brought them unity and peace. They've turned their back. And with all of that history, they're going to get cut down and made into a stump. Well, all of that happens. The north of Israel is taken into exile by Assyria. And then Judah is taken into exile into Babylon. The nation of Israel is cut down into a dead stump. There seems to be no hope of return. There seems to be no hope of life. But then Isaiah gives us little glimpses of a hope. In Isaiah chapter 9, he begins to talk about a child that will be born. A child that will be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And his kingdom is never going to end. This is going to be a king that is going to come from the line of Jesse. He's going to sit on David's throne. And so Isaiah gives the nation of Israel a little bit of hope. They're dead at the moment. They're out in exile. They're living in Babylon. But now there's this hope. Again, people have to wait for a coming king, a promised king in the line of David. In Isaiah chapter 11, which we had read today, we hear about a shoot sprouting from that stump of Jesse. The kingdom lies in ruins, and all that we have is a stump. Well, something is going to sprout from that stump. God has not given up on it. There is still life. And what is this king going to look like? Well, God tells us, Isaiah tells us, he will have the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him. He will delight in the Lord. He will bring peace in his rule. And nations will come together under his kingship. He will have that promised Holy Spirit rest on him. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah goes out to the nation of Israel in Babylon, and he is told to preach. He's told to preach comfort to the people. He's told to bring them back. He's a voice in the wilderness calling people back, comforting the people, preparing them for the return of the Lord. And God has his nation of Israel brought back into Israel. He has them returned from exile and brought back. And they're able to worship the Lord in the temple in Israel once again. But it's not quite the same as it used to be. It's not quite like it used to be with David. And so we're still expecting a coming king, a king who is truly going to be the king who brings peace to all of the earth. Well, if you open up the Gospels, we hear again about a voice calling in the wilderness. And it's the voice of John the Baptist preparing the people for the Lord. He's not preparing people for someone they would expect. He's actually preparing people for the Lord Jesus Christ, God's chosen king. Isaiah comes preaching to the people to turn back to their God. And then we find Jesus. What kind of a person is he? Well, he ends up in a synagogue reading from the book of Isaiah, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." He takes the scroll of Isaiah, he passes it along, and then he says to the people who are hearing him read it, he says, "Today in your hearing, this passage has been fulfilled." In Isaiah, we are told that the coming king, the promised king that we are to wait for, is the king who is going to have the Spirit of the Lord rest upon him. And Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." It's Jesus who is that coming king. He is the one who's come to Israel to give them hope and life. Except Israel haven't changed. They're just like the people in Samuel. God has sent his king into the world, and what do they want? Well, they don't want a king like Jesus. They don't want this kind of king. They want their own king. Jesus has said, "I am the one that the Lord has sent. I am the Messiah." And so what happens? They crucify him. They nail him to a tree. They put him on a dead piece of wood, a stump. Jesus is the one who is king of the whole world. He was sent into the world by God. He is the chosen king, the promised king, the king that we're meant to be waiting for. And what happens? Israel, crucify him. And it seems like all hope is lost. He's crucified, buried, and placed into the tomb. It's dead. There's simply a stump. And this is when that title, the root of Jesse, becomes a bit of a hope. Because God tells us that out of the root of Jesse, another king will come. A king will be raised. And as Jesus is crucified, buried, placed in the tomb, he is resurrected from the dead. And so what looked like lost life to us with Jesus' crucifixion is actually a sign of hope. There is life that comes from that stump. Jesus Christ is crucified on that tree, but he's raised to new life. He's resurrected from the dead. And he goes about preaching the kingdom of God. He sends his disciples into the ends of the earth, preaching about the kingdom that has come in him. And what do we find as we read through the book of Acts? We find not only Jews trusting in Jesus, we find people from all nations, all over the world, trusting in Jesus. The Ethiopian eunuch going off to Africa. We've got the Romans, the Gentiles, the Greeks, people from all places beginning to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, worshipping God. Jesus is the one, the King, who's resurrected from the dead. He brings life. And if there's any hope of peace, if there's any hope of unity, it comes from worship. It comes as we're all drawn to worship the one true God, the one true King. There is hope that one day everything will be united. There is hope that one day there will be peace. And that will come when all of us are worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the day when we'll see unity. That is the day we'll see peace. When the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. And what are we to do? We're to do the same thing that all of Israel has had to do for all of history. We're to wait for the coming King. Jesus tells of a parable about a king who's going off to receive his authority, but he's going to come back and he's going to rule. Well, Jesus is the king in the parable. He goes off. He has ascended into heaven. He's received his authority. And one day he is going to come back. And we're to wait now, faithfully, loving and serving him. His coming is inevitable. Jesus Christ is going to return. We're to wait for that return. We're to trust in the coming King. Just like all of history has waited for the coming King, we're to trust and wait for that King. It might seem hopeless at the moment, but the only point of having hope comes from a context of hopelessness. Hope is only hope if it's held on to when it seems hopeless. A few months ago, my mother gave us a plant, a little aloe. It looked pathetic. It was quite shrunken and frail, and it was kind of the color of my hand. It looked dead. Well, Lisa took that little aloe. She planted it in a pot of soil that I'd just recently bought, and I thought, what a waste of soil. That was probably about a pound and 73 pence worth of soil that's just gone to waste because of that aloe that Lisa just planted off. Well, a few months later, and we have this. Beautiful green and, growing. And not only that, but it's got all sorts of, wonderful things now growing up. It's become bigger than it actually was in the first place. That was £1.73 that I thought we had wasted on soil for this plant. We have a coming King from the shoot of Jesse, someone that is going to come back again. And whatever you give to him now is going to be worth it. I'm talking about £1.73 wasted on some soil. I'm saying you can give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and it'll be worth it. He is going to come and you will see his kingdom grow and flourish. He is going to come back and we will all rejoice. A few years ago, Reading played Arsenal in a football game. Reading were 4-0 up with 37 minutes to play. And with 4-0, losing 4-0, Arsenal fans began to stream out of the stadium. Arsenal won 7-5. Think about how much money they paid for those tickets to be at that stadium and then just left in the last minute. And then they missed the most important part of the game, the time that their team won. All of history has been waiting for the promised coming king. He came 2,000 years ago. He's going to come again. All of history has been waiting for the promised king. Would you walk out on him now? Last minute? Wait. Trust. He's coming back. 2002, I was with a friend in South Africa. We loved Ernie Els. Ernie Els was our hero, the South African golfer that we loved and supported. He was playing in the British Open. 3 days we'd been watching him. 3 days. And on the 16th hole, on the final day, he made a double bogey. My friend was furious. He stormed out the room. I must admit, I had lost all hope as well. But I just sat watching to see who would win it. Well, hope beyond hope, Ernie Els ends up in a playoff, and he ends up winning it. My friend who loved Ernie Els was off sulking somewhere while the rest of us were dancing around with unbelief. He'd won it. It might look like we have no reason to hope at the moment. It might look like there's no reason or no way we're ever going to have unity and peace in this world. It might look like that. Wait. Don't walk out. Don't leave. The one you are trusting and following right now, he's going to win. He's going to win. We know it. Stay around for the show. See his kingdom grow. Rejoice in it now. Don't go sulking off somewhere. Don't leave. Stick around. Watch the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch what he's going to do. And when he comes back, celebrate with us all. It does look like there's no reason to hope at the moment. But that's precisely the point where you need to hold on to your hope. It's precisely the point where you need to hold strong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's that moment that you're going to celebrate when he comes again. He is going to come again. And we will have nothing to regret. And it will be a victory that we all celebrate. Hold on to that hope. Stand firm now. He's coming back. The root of Jesse is a title given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's a title to remind us to wait for the coming king. It might look like hopeless now, but there is life to come. He will come back. Hold on. Trust the Lord. Wait for his king. Let me pray. Father, we do thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you that you call on us to trust you. Father, we pray for that day. Lord, would you send your Son? Lord Jesus, come, we pray. And until then, Lord, we pray that you would give us strength to hold firm to the faith that we have. Help us to be united. Help us to anticipate your coming kingdom. And until then, Lord, that we would call others to come and watch what you're doing in the world. Amen.